Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
Well as being Mother's Day today, it is also Ascension Sunday, the day we remember that Jesus not only died, was buried and rose again, but that he returned to his home in heaven in front of witnesses. So this morning, I could have talked to you about the Ascension, or I could have talked to you about Mother's Day, but just to add another day into the mix, because I'm allowed to, because I'm one of the older ones in this gathering here, I'm going to start by talking a little about Anzac Day instead. A couple of weeks ago, I attended an Anzac service. Now, I've done this many, many times over the years, since I used to go as a little girl in the 1950s. And it's funny because Anzac Day always seemed to be cold and foggy back then. And somehow it seemed to match the somber mood of the day. And I remember as a little girl standing really quietly and hearing in the distance the steady beat of a drum. And then out of the gloom and the fog would come row after row of marching men, returned servicemen. Some in their uniforms, they would have medals pinned on their chests. Their faces were usually serious and sad. There were stooped shoulders and bent backs of older men from the First World War. And then there were sort of slightly more lifted heads and straighter shoulders of the young men. But their minds were remembering the drill and the marches and the battles that had been so recently fought, and the friends and the brothers left behind who were never going to return. These were men who were just in their 30s and 40s, who had seen things that their eyes could never unsee, and experienced horrors and sadness they hadn't dreamed of and that sometimes troubled them still. I thought of them on this last Anzac Day. This year, as flowers were laid on cenotaphs and the last post was played, and I heard the familiar words spoken again. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And I wondered how many who heard those words or even read them out knew that they were the words of Jesus spoken to his friends. I was reflecting on this last Anzac Day, and I was thinking about my parents. And so this Mother's Day, I want to tell you a little bit about my mum. Both she and Dad both served in the Second World War. Mum was a quiet, sweet little 24-year-old, an English girl who was in the Women's Auxiliary Forces in England. And Dad was a Kiwi soldier from New Zealand who was a medic. Long story short, they met, they fell in love, and they got married all within 6 months. And at the end of the war, Dad came back on a troop ship, and about 5 months later, my mum was able to follow him and she joined him in New Zealand, coming on what they called the War Bride's Ship. She talked to us about leaving England. She talked about sitting in the carriage of a train at the train station in her little hometown in Suffolk and hardly daring to look out the window because she saw her mother and her father and her 7 siblings sadly waiting to see the train pull out and leave and take her away. She didn't know if or when she would ever see them again. She was leaving England to sail to the other side of the world, to a country really she knew nothing about, and to the only New Zealander she knew, who was now her husband. In a different way, she was laying down her life for her friend, in this case, her husband. You see, laying down one's life for another is not always on the battlefield or facing a bullet. We always need to remember with gratitude those who have given up their lives completely and families who were ripped apart by war, but there are other ways where lives are laid down. But why? Why do people give up their lives like those young soldiers just in their 20s and 30s, whose lives were just beginning. It has to be because they believed a cause or a calling or a person was worth it. Young soldiers left in their thousands, some for what they thought was going to be a great adventure, but at the heart of it, because they saw the threat to freedom and safety in their country and in their family and in friends whom they loved. They knew there was a risk they wouldn't return, but they loved something of great value and were prepared to risk everything, even their own lives, for the sake of that, and that takes courage. For my mum, it was the start of laying down her life with many times. She only saw her parents once more, and in her lifetime missed out on all the family events, the birthdays, the weddings, the births and deaths back in England. Many of you will have seen on Anzac Day in many places, maybe if you watch something on TV or on the news or something, you'd have seen the rows of still, silent white crosses representing those who laid down their lives. Isn't it amazing that almost worldwide the cross is used as a picture of sacrifice? The soldiers may have been killed by a bayonet or a bullet or a bomb, but they weren't killed on a cross. Yet we have never seen a memorial with row upon row of silver bullets or bronze bombs or white bayonets. No, it's the cross. In a world where so many ignore, scoff at, or forget about Jesus, the cross remains as a symbol of giving up one's life for others. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for a friend. So why did Jesus say it? What was the context of those words being spoken? Well, Jesus is speaking with his friends as he prepares them for what lay ahead before him, the cross, the reason he came. It's a long message where he encourages, he explains, he warns that this is the last time he's sitting down and eating with them. He's trying to get them to understand that he's going to be leaving, that he's about to do what he came to do, and they're confused. They've been travelling around with him for several years. They've watched him do amazing things. They've probably felt that these have been the best years of their lives, as they had begun to believe that perhaps this Jesus really was the Messiah, that perhaps he was the Christ that their people had longed for years, who'd come to save his people and change the world. And now he's messing with their minds completely by talking about being betrayed and denied, about leaving them in order to prepare a house or a home somewhere else, warning that they can't go with him yet, and all just when they were getting into the rhythm of walking with him, learning from him, having their tough, world-weary hearts softened by his love for them and for others and for God. Nothing seems to be making sense. And then he says in John 15, I have loved you. Even as the Father has loved me, remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And then he gives us one simple instruction. He's saying, in essence, the most important thing in all you've seen and heard me say or do all through these years walking with me is this. My command is this: love each other. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. His final call to his disciples wasn't to preach longer messages, to read more books about God, to be more clever in discussions or more forceful in arguments, but to love. And the greatest way to show that love was to lay down their lives for one another. For Jesus, that meant his physical death. But that's not necessarily what he's calling us to do. Although for many in the world today and in centuries past, following Jesus has meant just that. But he is calling us today to give up our lives for the sake of something or someone else that is of great worth. To give up our status, our prestige, our pride, our comfort. And it's all for his glory when we obey. Romans 12 calls us to be living sacrifices while we live, to be ready to give up our wants and desires, our choices for the best for us, to make someone else's life better. And that's a big ask. And in this, at this moment, we do acknowledge our own mums today. All of us have had our mums, or most of us have had our mums do this, for the sleep they gave up. Some who left careers that they had loved, for lifestyles that got radically changed, for the times that they said they weren't hungry because there were only 4 chocolate biscuits left and there were 5 in the family, for the late nights spent icing cakes for your birthday, or making a costume for the book day at school tomorrow, for listening many times to the heartbroken tale of lost love. Thank you, mums, for laying down your lives for us. And I'm pretty sure the majority of them would say it was worth it. But obviously, it's not mums that Jesus was talking to. In fact, there were no mums in the group of guys that were sitting in the room that night when Jesus was talking, but it is a call and a challenge to each of us about how we live our lives. It's going to look different for each one. This laying down something of value for the greater worth of someone or something else. When I was in my, I think it was my second year of high school, and I won't tell you how many years ago that is, when I thought about it, it was horrifying. It was year 10, I think. I came first in our English exam that year. I only just made it into first place. I got 1 mark more than the girl who got second. And I thought that she was the cleverest in the class at everything. So, and it was my first time at high school, and I probably, if I really thought about it, it was probably my only time. But anyway, it was definitely my first time at high school coming first, so I was pretty excited about it. The teacher handed out our papers and asked us to check our marks to make sure she had added them up correctly. I went through and added mine up, and then I did it again. And oh no, she had given me 2 more marks than I can find in the margin. This meant that I was 1 mark behind the girl who came second. Well, that girl checked her papers and handed hers back in as correct. And after a few minutes of anguish, I did the same, but I said nothing. After all, it wasn't my fault that the teacher hadn't added them up correctly, was it? And really, it wasn't my job to be even having to check them anyway. I so wished she hadn't got us to check, because now I knew. And I felt as if every eye in the class was on me, that they all knew as well. In fact, perhaps this was a secret test that everybody else knew about and nobody had told me. It was being to check to see if I was honest or not. I felt absolutely miserable, but I so wanted to have the honour in my eyes of saying I'd come top in the class. So I decided I'd just forget about it, and I went home, and the other girl seemed to be quite happy about getting second, and she'd had lots of experience in coming first anyway, and I hadn't. So I told the family at home about coming first, and I received all the praise and encouragement from them. At this point, what would laying down my life have looked like? The desire and for honesty and truth would have been far more important than my pride at being first in the class. My desire to bless and lift up the other girl to receive what she deserved would mean I would go and tell the teacher the next day, which would have been much more awkward anyway than if I'd just done it right at the start as soon as I realised. How I would love to tell you this morning that that's what I did. That I laid down my life. That I went and told. But I didn't. I just let it go. And I'm ashamed to say that. I said nothing. I didn't really want to tell you that story, but somehow I felt it fitted. You see, I'm absolutely confident that if I had laid down my pride in my success and my desire to be first, for the better value of honesty and truth and wanting the best for another who deserved it, I'm sure I would have experienced far greater joy in coming second than the guilty shame of seeing first on my report card when I knew it wasn't really true. There was no joy in that at all. Laying down your life for something of worth brings much greater joy than always seeking your own way at the expense of others. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, the joy of knowing he had made the way, he'd built the bridge, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." You see, Jesus laid down his life firstly when he left heaven. He left his position within the Trinity, his incredible power and glory, the wonder and oneness with God, and he poured himself into humanity as a helpless babe for the sake of someone or something that he considered of great worth, you and me. He first laid down his life with his Father at his birth, and then after living on earth and showing what God was like to a confused, sinful, stumbling people, he laid down his life again, submitting to the cross. Can you imagine what it could have been like? He could have summoned thousands of angels to thunder down and burn up in a flash the Roman soldiers and the cross and the people calling for his death. He could have ripped out the nails holding his hands and feet to the cross, and he could have hurled them into space as far away as the stars, and he could have stepped off the cross. But he knew that unless he took the punishment for our sin, unless he entered the domain of death, the domain of the enemy, and then defeated death by coming back to life, unless he did all that, we would still have no hope in this life or the life to come. We would still carry the weight of sin. We would still have a huge, impossible debt to pay because we belonged to the enemy. But Jesus was buying us back, and it cost him his life. He paid a debt he didn't owe and that we could never change. He laid down his life for his friends, us, and he calls us to do the same. Romans 5 says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he looked at his mother and his friend standing with her, John, and he said, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." His words, I think, were meaning, "Mum, see John. Let him be your son now. Mother him." And to John, "See my mother, alone now, standing next to you. Let her be yours. Look after each other." We're remembering mothers today. We're not all mothers biologically, but the world needs women who play the role of mothers. I know many who take the role of loving, mentoring, caring for, listening, teaching, walking alongside, encouraging others. It may be towards younger women in the church family, or nieces and nephews, maybe the neighbours' kids, maybe colleagues. We are often needed to be a mother to others, and what a joy and privilege that is. Thank you to those who mother others who are not their own. I started by speaking Jesus' words, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. And our challenge for us today is how do we grow that into a behaviour during this week and all of life? Laying down our lives costs something. For those who served in war, it was their lives sometimes. It was time with their families. It was training for careers. Often it was their physical and mental health. It costs, and sometimes it hurts when we're brave enough to stop and recognise the value in other people or other causes, to accept that life is not just about me. I remember my dad giving away the chance of a better job in another city because he saw the value of the friendships we had as kids in the youth group and church at the time. Many times it's not easy. Our actions and attitudes sometimes take time to line up with each other. We may not feel like laying down our lives, but Mark reminded us again last week that whatever Jesus calls us to do, he wants to help us do it, to help carry the load, give the courage, give the grace enough for the moment. His promise remains, I will never leave you. Maybe we need to ask ourselves the old question at times in situations where we need to lay down our own wants or comfort or resources, what would Jesus do? Laying down our lives is sometimes in the big things. It could be a call to go in a different direction in life than we thought, in career or mission or dreams we had. It could be in accepting a challenge that costs us. It could be giving time or resources when it really hurts. It could be having a big change in our life situation that calls for sacrifice. It could be giving up a hobby or a passion or time spent on an interest that come at the cost of the family or resources. And sometimes it's in the smaller things. Perhaps they train us for the bigger things. It could be things like cleaning our rooms, or taking out the rubbish when there's other things we'd rather do right at that moment. It could be making the bed rather than just expecting someone else to do it. It could be being kind to other people, like siblings sometimes, even when they annoy or disrupt or don't fit into our plans or activities at the time. It could be making room for others in our circle of friends. It could be noticing the lonely or the outsider and making them feel welcome. It could be thinking what it might be like to be in someone else's shoes and then stepping out of our comfort zone to walk with them. Of course, Jesus modelled it best. He found joy in laying down his life, and I believe we can too. I'm going to read some words from Philippians to finish. And really, these words bring us to the other day we mentioned, Ascension Sunday, that was mentioned at the beginning. 40 days after he walked out from the grave where he had been buried, when he rose from death, Jesus ascended into heaven. Not a ghostly, wispy spirit, but in human form as he had come. He returned to heaven, fully man, fully God, and tells us that he is the first fruits, the first to do that. If we love him and have acknowledged him as our Lord of our lives, then we can look forward to that too. Let's listen to these words from Philippians. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's just close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much, for faithfully showing us the beauty, goodness, and love of Father God when you walked on the earth. Thank you that you modeled what it means to lay down our lives for others. We confess we don't always find that easy. So often we can't quite see past our own needs and wants, and sometimes it just doesn't seem fair. But you considered it joy to embrace the cross because of what you were accomplishing when you took the death that we deserved. It was the only way we could become forgiven, friends of God, in fact, part of your family. Lord Jesus, as we go out into the week, remind us of your one command to us, to love one another. Please show us the many ways we can do that in service, in word, in action, in attitude. Please help us to lay down our lives when it's easy and when it's hard, when it seems obvious and when it's not, when we see our attitudes or actions are selfish. Please give us courage to change, to learn new habits that are like yours, to ask you for help because we know we can't love others well on our own. We need you, Jesus, to help us. Thank you that you always want to make us more like you. You never force us, but you keep on inviting us to join you in the journey so that we can bear your name well in a world that needs to see the love and grace and goodness of Jesus. May we do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen.